Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. I'm back again for a special show. This is Jump in Tucson, and we're brought to you by our friends at Visit Tucson. Every weekday, there is a new host that talks about the leaders and inside the community of Tucson. And today, we got a great one that has been involved in the movies for many, many years. And certainly, you look at Mark Sankey, who is here from Mescal movie set. And you can see kind of like, you look pretty good in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, Mark, I think.
Well, thanks, Tom, but I'd rather be on the other side of the camera.
Well, welcome to our show here. We talk tourism, but mostly we have a lot of fun. And Mark was able to join us this morning. He wanted to be here live and in person in the studio, and I think that's always so much better than talking on the phone. Anybody can talk on the phone, but boy, when you're looking at your host or you're looking at your guest, you know, there's nothing but a true conversation that takes place, and that's what we do here every Thursday. We talk about the leaders of in tourism, and today we're going to be talking about the Western movie phenomena, really. You know, it started maybe a little bit before my history lesson, which starts in 1939, where this little movie called Arizona was filmed, and you know, it was pretty desertly at that time, and they employed the Total Autumn Nation, and they built this little town, which was really a replica of the way Tucson was in the 1880s, and you know, it was run by the J.C.s for a little bit, as I understand, and then Pima County was the owner, and then there was this kind of a B actor, but knew all the A actors, a guy named Bob Sheldon, and he came around and rebuilt a lot of the town. Some of the town was there from the movies that were filmed after the Arizona. But in the 50s, he decided that people want to come see where the movies are, and he built Old Tucson. Now, that was eventually sold and to the Diamond family, but there was this town just a little bit down the road off of I-10 called Benson, and they needed an area where they could shoot 360 degrees, and it was more of the grassland look, and that was in Mescal, Arizona, which is... Oh, is it its own little town right outside of Benson?
Well, it is a community we call Mescal, but it is part of Benson. It's Benson address, so it's part of Benson.
Okay, and it's not that far away. So when a lot of times when the movies were shot at either Mescal or at Old Tucson, they shot at both places because they got a different look and a different feel. And Mark has taken over as the marketing guru out there. But before we get started on the history of Mescal, and there's quite a bit, you know, when I was researching Mark and researching the show, I was pleasantly surprised of all of the movies and television series that were shot out there. And we'll get into that a lot more detail in segment two. But before we get there, Mark, let's learn a little bit about you.
Well, I came from Ohio back in 1980, came to Arizona, and my career started with drug companies, basically Fortune 500 companies. I was fortunate to get sales and sales management experience there. Got tired of all the buyouts and that type of thing, and I joined my brother in a couple family businesses of publishing and a wholesale embroidery and screen print business. Retired and wanted to do something fun, so I went to work at Old Tucson for a while before it closed down because of COVID.
Yeah, tell me the years you were at the Old Tucson.
I was there not very long, January of 2019 to, what was it, March or something of 2020.
Okay. All right. So Terry Verhey was your general manager at the time, and he was my merchandise manager back in the late 1990s when I was there as a GM, and he kind of grew up in that park. It was kind of his second career. He was at a place called Worlds of Fun in Kansas City where he was selling roller coasters.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, that was me, my history, too. I was selling roller coasters and children's rides and all kinds of things, and then I ended up working at Calico Ghost Town, a silver mining town, and then the Western Bug got me. Not the urban cowboy Western Bug, but the real the real authentic, you know, true. What is the name of that magazine that's out there still talks about the Old West all
true
the
West?
Time? True West. Yeah.
Bob Bozbell?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, you know, that magazine has kept true to its mission, you know, is the talk about the historical Old West, and certainly Old Tucson lived in, and I lived and breathed it at Calico Ghost Town, a little silver mining aspect, but it was around the 1860s, 1880s, you know, so it really bit me bad. So I had the clothes. I had to buy the authentic clothes, of course, you know, with the little belt back and then the shirt and no, even though you see blue jeans out there, you know, I don't think the Old West had, you know, blue jeans, except for maybe when Levi finally came around. But none of that was in the authentic wardrobe that we had at Old Tucson. I mean, we had a seamstress out there, Renee, that really did a super job. And I think she's back now and still working a little bit over at the, for Tony at the Gaslight Theater. But I think her real love was really Old Tucson.
Yeah.
And so Mescal was kind of our sister set out there. And back in the 80s and 90s, it, you know, it did really well. And of course, you know, if you all remember the High Chaparral, sometimes, or Little House on the Prairie, sometimes when they visited other towns, you were actually just a little less than an hour down the road and you were visiting Mescal. And this cool thing about mostly, I think, Mescal, depending on where you entered the town, you could actually set decorate it where it looked like a different town.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of different options and views and different vistas and mountains. We're surrounded by mountains. And they would come in with a little paint and maybe a little ornamental trim wood and such and get a completely different look.
Now, because it's one of the famous scenes out there, of course, is the wide shot, and it looks like it's in a prairie. And because it's not, the look is completely different than Old Tucson.
Well, yeah, if you want a saguaro cactus, you don't go to Mescal. We got one. And Old Tucson has that at Golden Gate Mountain, and they've got all the saguaros. But if you want true-to-life ranch land where they're running cattle, and they're still running cattle today, then Mescal is perfect for that. So it can be Wyoming, it can be Montana, it can be Arizona, even parts of Cimarron with Glenn Ford out in Mescal is where they shot the land rush scene.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't look like anything like Oklahoma, but movie magic, they can make it work.
Absolutely.
They can make it work.
Whereas Old Tucson, there's a set of wires that go across kind of the opposite direction of the big mountain you just talked about. They can now paint those out, but it's always good if you have a 360. Are you still a 360 at Mescal, or you're close?
I would say we're about 200. There are some housing that have moved up towards the southwest end, but again, today, since everything's digital, they can pull that out. But for the bulk of it, it's just uninterrupted landscape that looked like it did 100 years ago.
And you don't have the jets flying over like you have sometimes at Old Tucson?
Well, we're a far enough away from the airport, they're pretty high.
That's great. That's fantastic. So this is Jump in Tucson, and our special guest today is Mark Zanke, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back, and I was just listening to the music from 1972 from George Roy Bean, you know, remember Paul Newman, one of my favorite actors. And that what led us into the break, Mark, what movie was that from?
That was Dirty Dingus McGee with Frank Sinatra.
That's right. You know.
Great title. Can't really say it's his best work, but it is an entertaining movie and worth a watch.
Now, did he sing in his movies like Elvis Presley did?
He didn't sing in that one. He wore these red flannel underwear all the time.
That's right.
Which if you go to Old Tucson and go to the Shelton Museum, you'll see him.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think they're in the courthouse, aren't they?
Well, the little museum, right, as you enter across the railroad
tracks. Oh, he's in the Bob Sheldon Museum.
Yes.
Yes, it used to be called the Arizona Theater, yeah. Where we showed some films and stuff. And he was a little guy.
Yes.
I remember seeing those long underwear under an exhibit case. And lots of movies between Old Tucson and Mescal. And a lot of folks probably don't know that it was in danger, you know, of being, in a sense, I'll be kind of dramatic here, eradicated from movie history. There was a special movie lease and a little bit of a grazing lease that kind of protected the land. And then when Old Tucson closed down during the pandemic, a lot of people didn't really realize there was this other famous movie location just an hour away that, in a sense, was rescued. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, according to the lease at Mescal, if you're no longer actively filming, you're required to put it back to its natural state, which is the High Plains Desert. So all those historic buildings where you had Frank Sinatra and Paul Newman and them would have been bulldozed down, and that would have been hauled off. At the 11th hour, the Karchners, Jake and J.J. Karchner, heard about that, and they recognized the value of that set for the community and to promote Western history in Western culture. So they stepped in on one meeting and bought it. It was Valentine's Day of 2021. So we tease Jake all the time that he gave his wife his Valentine's Day present that he's still paying for 3 years later.
Well, it certainly was a gem in its heyday. And clearly, I think some of the movies at Old Tucson wouldn't have happened if they didn't have a second movie set. And the biggest movie was
Tombstone, yes, without a doubt.
And Tombstone, as you kind of recall, and if you have not seen the movie, I can't imagine why not, because along with Harry Potter, every single day you turn on the TV, you can find the movie Tombstone. And that was filmed, what time period was that filmed in Tombstone?
That was the summer of 93.
There was a lot going on in 93, because also in 93, The Quick and the Dead was filmed, or 93, 94, Quick and the Dead was filmed at Mescal.
They were back to back. In fact, they ran into contract issues because Tombstone was running late. It ran into the production time of Quick and the Dead, and from what I understand, there was a big battle. But they worked out details where Tombstone was able to film 12 hours a day, and when a building was no longer going to appear in the film Tombstone, then Quick and the Dead set decorators would go in at the other 12 hours and decorate the set.
I wish I was working then. Man, that would have been in a quite, you know, nerve-wracking but an exciting time period. The story is often told by Mr. Sheldon when he was with us that they were wrapping up a movie and there was already another movie in pre-production. Up and probably all the way up until Tombstone, maybe even a little bit longer after that. Of course, in 95, they had this disastrous fire that two-thirds of a movie location had burnt, but Mescal was still around.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And of course, at that time, Western movies were kind of taking a back seat to the action movies, the science fiction movies. But I have to say, I think the Western movies are back. What do you say, mate, Mark?
Well, you know what I like to tell people is when you watch a Western, the historic Westerns always kind of had the hero, the sidekick, and the lady. Okay. So when you look at Star Wars, two guys and a lady, all right? But instead of a six-shooter, they got their lightsabers. You watch Harry Potter, two guys, a lady, and a wand. So Westerns, in my eyes, never really left. They just got reconfigured to appeal to a younger audience. But now with Yellowstone in 1883, knock on wood, we're seeing a big resurgent of Westerns, and we hope to be busy.
Yeah, and they're not only, as they say in the movie, A-movies. B-movies have their place in history. And that's where a lot of stars started out in B-movies. You know, Roy Rogers, you know, Gene Autry. They didn't go right up to the A-movies. And, of course, some movies are still shot in black and white, which is kind of really interesting. And some have a little smidgen of color with that phenomena called CGI, where they were able to color certain parts of the movies. And of course, what CGI gave us was the ability, as we talked briefly in the first segment, to really get a sense of the 360 look, where even if there was a pair of wires or something that obstructed, or even a sound where often happens in Tucson, where an A-10 would fly over, from Davis-Monthan, they were able to cut that out. And so there was really no impediments, no reason why not. And both of these towns were built for the movies. I mean, they literally, one building at a time, were built for a particular movie. Now, some of the movies you might be very familiar with. But before we do that, there was one question that I wanted to ask you. So you signed the lease, you're ready to go, and then this massive amount of volunteers emerged upon the set. And this is a great story. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, there was a lot of work to do. You basically couldn't do a tour of the set. You could barely drive down the main road because there's so much damage from wind and that type of thing. And there was basically an appeal to go out to the community to come in and to help. And we had large groups of people come in Saturday after Saturday and pick up debris, pull nails, pick up glass, screws off the ground, and that type of thing. And then that volunteer base has evolved into sort of specialized fields. Now we have historians, people that maybe are bartenders. We only have sarsaparilla and soft drinks. Stores, and are what we call our Angry Beavers, which is a self-titled moniker that a lot of the guys that are doing all the carpenter work do. So we've got a pretty organized staff now of volunteers that come out 3-4 days a week and just keep chipping away at improving the set.
Now, have you seen the Tombstone Vigilantes down there at all? Or
Not on the set itself. I mean, obviously, I've seen them down in Tombstone. But as a movie set, and we do open up for tours, but we don't do a lot as far as, we don't do the shootouts and that type of thing. You can go to Old Tucson and see that done very, very well. Whereas being a volunteer base and not the ability to practice and do that type of thing, are, as far as an attraction, we do historical film tours. So you can walk the streets where Clint Eastwood was or Paul Newman was, and you can actually stand where a lot of famous scenes were shot.
Yeah, one of the things I really was happy to see on your website was the before and after shots of some of these famous iconic buildings.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I've been there since the start.
Well, we're back with segment three here with Mark Sankey from the Mescal movie set. We're going to talk a little bit more about the movies that were filmed out there. This is Jump in Tucson. Well, we're just spending a little bit more time listening to the famous music from the movies and television shows that were shot out at Mescal. And what movie was that from, Mark?
Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, that's another great, great movie. Now, you know, one of the things that's happened on, whether it's a streaming TV or cable TV, is you can see a lot of these movies now pretty much on demand.
Pretty much, there's a few I wish they would show more often or more, make more available, but 90% of these you can catch.
Yeah, and some of them are free, and some of them, I think most of them are like $3. Yeah. It's hard to see a John Wayne movie, unless you own it on DVD, for free. They've done a great job of managing his likeness and his name, but it's $3. And I just saw one, and it was... it was a movie shot during World War II, and it had Pearl Harbor in it, and no harm's way or something like that. It was, and I remember a quote from John Wayne. He said, "If the movie was over 90 minutes, it wasn't worth being a movie." No, the harm's way movie was 2 hours and 37 minutes. Excuse me. And I started it at 10 o'clock, and I'm sitting there, 1 o'clock, is this movie ever going to end? But it did, but it was a great movie. And John Wayne, I don't know what it was. There was a period where he looked young, and then there was this period where he looked about the same age for decades. Yeah, you know, yeah. He had the wrinkles in the forehead, and he was aged properly and for the role. And just a great, I mean, for us living in this time period now where we get to see all these movies that maybe we saw the first run when we were a kid, but now we can see all of these movies. And, you know, clearly the most famous movie that we just started to talk about was the movie Tombstone. Now, at the same time, wasn't there another movie that was being shot regarding the famous character of both movies?
Well, absolutely. You had Kevin Costner doing Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, and then you had Kurt Russell doing Wyatt Earp in Tombstone. And a little probably an unknown fact, but both movies had something else in common besides being about Wyatt Earp. Weren't they filmed somewhat in the same location a little bit?
Wyatt Earp was filmed in a different location?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't. Well, how could you do a movie about Wyatt Earp not filmed in Arizona?
How can you do any Western?
Shame on them. Well, we do know there was a little bit of a conflict with The Quick and the Dead being filmed at the same time.
Right.
You know, so Wyatt Earp wasn't in that movie.
No.
but we know Sharon Stone was in that movie.
And Leonardo DiCaprio is a very young actor.
That's right. And Gene Hackman,
so, Russell Crowe.
So both movies were were really considered A movies. Yeah. They had A stars in there. And Sharon Stone was having a very successful career at that time. Wasn't there another movie filmed in 1993 that you can recall?
In that same time period, I don't know if there's Lightning Jack with Paul Hogan.
Yeah.
Filmed at Mescal.
And Paul Hogan was an emerging star.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee.
Yes.
And such.
And, you know, so there was a lot of activity in the 90s, early 90s, regarding Old West films. But, you know, we just started talking about when there was this call for volunteers to come out and help restore Mescal. And so when you got it to a point where you were ready to show it off, was there anybody unexpected that knocked on your door to take a look and see what the kind of work that you've done?
We've had one little story. I answered the phone for the set, and a gentleman called, and he said he was frustrated because he says, I come to the set, and it's always locked. And he says, my name is Michael Bain. And I go, I know who you are, Michael. You're Johnny Ringo from Tombstone. And fortunately, we had staff on the set. And at the same time, one of the other managers, Paul, was coming up the driveway and was able to take Michael up onto the set. And Mike stayed about 2 hours and talked to our staff and reminisced and such.
He was one of the best bad guys in that movie, wasn't
Absolutely.
He? And women liked him, too. So he was very, very popular. Two Wyatt Earp movies being filmed basically at the same time, clearly not at the same location, as we just established. And there are stories out there, and, you know, I'm not the historian that certainly you are, Mark, but it was what I had heard and read was that they with the cast that they had at Tombstone with Kurt Russell, very popular Disney guy, you know, grew up, you know, as a small child actor, and then his supporting cast with Sam, the voice of the meat there. And he did a lot of nice movies with Tom Selleck, Western movies, and he had that great Western style kind of deep voice. So you had an all-star cast with both movies.
Yes.
And I don't know if Kevin Costner was on his way from that famous movie that he did that was 4 hours long, you know, talking about Native American life and how he grew up in there. And was he just starting, or was he pretty well known at the time?
Oh, I think he was very well known at the time. You know, he had, as a young man, done Silverado, Dances with Wolves and such. So he was a big player at the time, and there was a little competition between Tombstone and Wyatt Earp as far as wardrobe and props and that type of thing. And Costner had a lot more clout in Hollywood, and he was able to gobble it up. And so the Tombstone crew had a really scavenge and salvage to kind of fill out their movie, but they did very well.
Yeah, and both movies were released about the same time. And over the years, though, there has been many online and kind of surveys that were done about who made the better Wyatt Earp. Can you share some of those results that you've heard about?
Well, we had our own little one on Facebook. We have about 10,000 followers and such. And so I've done a number of surveys on favorite movie, and obviously Tombstone won that hands down. But we've had favorite Wyatt Earps. And there's a number of famous actors. James Garner.
Played Wyatt Earp.
Oh, yeah. James Garner played in a number of them. And by far, Kurt Russell
was
won.
Was it Burt Lancaster?
Burt Lancaster.
And he played Wyatt Earp,
in
right?
In the shootout, the OK Corral.
And Doc Holliday was
Tucson,
played by
Kirk Douglas.
So there was an all-star cast.
All-star cast. So there's been a lot of movies about the shootout at the OK Corral. But in our survey, and a lot of surveys, Kurt Russell wins hand down. Normally, Kevin comes in second. But
now, a little, probably if you wondered, If their mustaches were real, we can dispel any rumors right here.
They were real in the movie Tombstone. They were instructed to grow their mustaches, and they were very fortunate to get actors that were able to grow decent mustaches. And we had a survey on that, too, the best mustache, and that was won by Sam Elliott, and I think he had a lot of the women's vote.
Well, Sam always had facial hair. That's
yeah, he's known for that. Yeah,
absolutely, and he's still doing Westerns. He did one for one of the streaming networks, not too long ago, and where he led a wagon train across the plains, and he's still out, still doing voiceover work and whatever. And of course, you know, Kirk Douglas played a wonderful, famous hockey movie after that. You know, where the hockey team won the USA Olympics, and you remember that movie?
Oh yeah,
and several other movies. I think he's probably still very popular with Disney, of course, because he grew up, you know. I can remember a movie, I can't remember the name, where he was at the circus, you know, and I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, we grew up with these guys, you know, and we couldn't wait to learn about their next movie. But I have to say, and I'm sure that Kevin and Kurt have been asked about this question, about what is their favorite movie. And, well, certainly the most watched movies are Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. And we can't forget about OK Corral, which is just down the street, really, from you.
Yeah, shoot out the OK Corral.
That's right. If you're on your way to Tombstone and there's a tour going on at Mescal, you want to go there first, and then you can just drive up the road, probably 30 or so minutes, and there's the real town of Tombstone, still alive. And you'll learn that the shootout didn't happen right at the OK Corral, but right next to there, and that street is still there. And you can see the original sign that said, this is where OK Corral, the shootout happened for the, what was that, 90 seconds or something like that?
I think it was 30.
30 seconds. Okay, I gave it too much time, you know. It was boom, 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 and, you know, it was over with. And there's a movie a docudrama that's out there right now on Netflix. We're not getting paid by Netflix, but it's a great reenactment of Wyatt Earp before OK Corral, during OK Corral, and after OK Corral, which the two movies we talked about really didn't follow the same script, so to speak. They were completely different. They all had Wyatt Earp in it, and they all had the OK Corral, but one focused on the OK Corral and one focused on his life. So, you know, we encourage you to watch both movies for sure. So we'll be back in just a few moments. This is Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson. All right. I'm not changing the way I'm doing this show, because that's probably one of the most recognizable pieces of Western, really thematic music. And I don't know if that won an Oscar or not, but it sure as hell should have, you know. But that I think there was... Yul Brynner was the star of the original. Now, do you remember where that was filmed?
I'm thinking it was in Mexico.
I think so. You're right, because it had the cathedral, yeah, and all that. And, of course, you can see, you know, a replica of that at Old Tucson, you know, for sure. Mark, you know, it's amazing the movies and the television shows that were shot, you know, at Mescal. There was clearly a partnership from the location scouts, where they had a chance to film at both locations. That relationship still continues.
Yep.
Old Tucson is still an active movie studio. And there's this incentive program now where we get a chance to compete with the other states that are for economic development purposes are able to throw in a little bit of money and lure the movie folks here. And as I understand, that finally has kicked in, Mark, and you're starting to get a lot of inquiries.
Yes, it's real fortunate to have that, because New Mexico and a lot of other states offer it, and it was really a drawback for Arizona for years. But now that we have it, and now that all the strikes are over that affected the film industry, there was a lull for a moment, but it is, we're getting a couple inquiries a week now as far as location scouts for future films, and we're fortunate this fall because we're having five productions basically come in. We just finished one, and then we have four more coming in through the end of November.
Now, do they come in fully self-supported, or do you have to lend a hand?
We try to lend a hand to be supportive, because we want them to have a good experience and we want them to come back or talk us up with other productions. So we're constantly working with them. You know, the last movie we had four people on set to help with traffic, move things around, and help any way we can.
I think Tucson is very well known when people come and do things, whether it's the Arizona Bowl or whether it's a movie, the exceptional customer service. A lot of that has to do with certainly our culture here. Our culture is made up of folks from Mexico. 40% of our population is Hispanic. Lots of family values, and that really pays off into customer service, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've got a film coming in that has some young filmmakers coming in from Texas, and they were very complimentary on Tucson and how helpful Peter and Monica were at Film Tucson.
Yes.
And they said, everybody we've worked with are so accommodating, and they network together, which is very important for the film industry. We're not competitive with each other. Tony at Old Tucson and I communicate. There's no competition, because, again, if you want a saguaro, you go there, you know?
Yeah, you often read in the trades about actors and how competitive they were with their fellow actors, and some of the stories aren't very complimentary. But there's one thing you don't read about is how people get angry at where they're filming. They, if anything, they're complimentary, like you just mentioned, that they walk away from Tucson saying, oh my goodness, we were like family here.
Yep.
And we did, they worked their rears off to make sure, you know, and we did the same thing when I was at a small little calico ghost town, from, you know, from lending office space to our copy machine or horses we had in the stable or whatever it was, you know, but, you know, that was kind of rare. But here in Tucson is something that, you certainly on the other side expect it. We go the extra mile here, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I'm so glad that you were able to restore but there is still some work that has to be done at Mescal, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's still some buildings we got to jump after, and movie sets constantly grow, so there's never an end point.
Yes. And, you know, one of the interesting things of Mescal is that many of the buildings were built on skids, and you can actually reconfigure the town. And does that seem to be the practice still, or?
Well, I wouldn't move any of our buildings now with the condition they're in. But we have had conversations about building smaller buildings that can be moved. So if they want a little maybe Mexican Hacienda Village over here, we can just move that over there and take care of it.
And that's what happened with Three Amigos at Old Tucson. They took several of the buildings and turned them into like they were in Mexico.
Yep.
And they kept most of the building stayed that way because it was kind of a neat, you know, with our proximity to Mexico. Well, so much a pleasure, Mark, to have had you here and to listen about the recovery of Mezcal. Very important, not only to Arizona, but important to Old Tucson as well, because if you want to have two separate locations all within, 45 minutes away and just 8 hours away from L.A., come to Tucson. And we do have this new incentive program that it's easy found out about. And we welcome you to find out more about Mezcal by going where, Mark?
To our website, mezcalmovieset.com.
Please go out when they're having the tours, make the reservations. Now, make sure you have your Tucson Attractions passport because you get a little bit of a discount to enjoy. How long are the tours?
Tours last about an hour up to 75 minutes.
And they're done with real live historians, I understand.
Yes, indeed. They have to be trained and certified.
Well, this is Jump in Tucson. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I'll be back here where we're going to talk about the stars. We're going to have two experts from the astronomy world, and that will be very interesting. We'll see you next Thursday. Tom Moulton, Jump in Tucson.